Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. All right, everyone, welcome back. Today, I am excited to have Anne Marie Hayden with the Assembly from the Rose District. Anne Marie, it's so good to have you here today.
Hi, Peggy. I'm so happy to be here.
So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the A21 Tulsa Freedom Walk. And so, Anne Marie, I just would like for you to just share with us just a little bit, what is that? And just kind of maybe get some of the facts down at first. And then we're just going to dive in a little bit deeper on your story, how you got connected, and how other people can be connected to this incredible movement that's happening in our city.
It is an incredible movement, and it's so desperately needed, too. So we've done a lot, but there's still a lot to be done. So the A21 Walk for Freedom is a global movement. It's a mobilization event that happens in hundreds of cities all around the world. Wow. And we are so blessed to be doing it here for the sixth year in the Tulsa area. I am a participant, and I'm so privileged and blessed to say that our church is actually hosting it this year at the Assembly at our downtown Broken Arrow campus, the Rose District campus. So it is this Saturday, October the 15th. Doors open at 8 a.m. and the event officially kicks off with a Q&A panelists of speakers at 9 o'clock. And then we do the walk shortly after. It's a single file, silent walk. Mm-hmm. It is transformational. Every year that I participated, and this is my fifth year, it becomes more and more powerful. I can't get enough, and something new is always revealed. So we'll take this silent single file walk down the streets of downtown Broken Arrow and back, and our steps are combined with millions of other steps.
That's amazing.
It is, and we just believe that the impact of people coming together and unifying against this, that God will bless it, and we will see breakthroughs.
That's awesome. So how can someone register, get more information, and is there a site that they can go to?
Yes. So A21 is an international organization that's been around for several years. Our specific page on the A21 website is a21.org/Tulsa. So that's a21.org/Tulsa. That'll take you directly to the landing page to register for this year's walk. And we're so excited. We already have several signed up, and we just know that they're going to continue to come. There is no limit to how many can come. There's no limit to what age you are. It is a family event. We see hundreds of strollers, and it's a powerful day for parents and students and grandparents in the community at large.
That's incredible. So last year, our staff got to participate.
It was awesome.
It was phenomenal. And, you know, that silent walk is so powerful. I just walking and just praying for really against the injustice in our city, praying for those that are the most vulnerable, those that, you know, we know that are suffering, those that nobody even knows is being trafficked right now, but they're there, and just raising that awareness. I mean, cars were stopping, people were taking pictures. Yeah. Like, there was just such an atmosphere of it was almost like this invisible energy that as you walked, you could feel the power of God.
Amen.
Walking with you.
It was
very, very powerful last year.
Yeah, we're so grateful that you guys participated and you'll be with us again this year. It is definitely a walk that no one will want to miss. It's a free event. It's free, but it has priceless rewards. It really does. The payoff, the as a survivor also, just being at that kind of event, seeing so many people come around and pray, you know, against these injustices, it's powerful. And I can't tell you the years that I've seen, you know, survivors, you know, realizing that, you know, in the moment and just emotionally just breaking emotionally because you feel like no one knows, no one cares, and no one's there for you. And there's a lot of shame and devaluing of self when one is victimized in the way that these victims are or these survivors are. Mm-hmm. So it's powerful in so many ways. And then again, like you said, to feel like you can be a part of the solution. You are a part of the solution.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. When you come and you get informed and you educate yourself and get equipped to do something, that's powerful. It's a horrible, horrible reality that's happening, not just everywhere around the world, but specifically right here in Tulsa, you know, right there in Broken Arrow, in our neighborhoods. People don't want to believe the enormity of it because sometimes it can be too big to think you can do anything about it, but everyone can do something.
Right. You know, one of the things that I really enjoyed last year was the panel.
Yes.
And, you know, listening to some of our officers mm-hmm. talk about the realities of what they're facing when they go into homes and they go into scenes and how they're being trained and being informed so that they can actually have right responses so that those that are being victimized yeah. aren't just arrested with everybody else, but that there's actually a plan in place and that our government's actively involved with how do we best serve and help those that, you know, actually don't know how to help themselves right now.
Absolutely.
And then even hearing the stories of survivors, that was so powerful to me to hear, you know, that human trafficking isn't just, you know, I saw the movie Taken, yeah. right, when I was younger.
Sure.
And I remember that for a long time, that was my vision of human trafficking, that it was somebody being kidnapped, taken to another country, drugged up, and then, you know, maybe there might be this rescue mission after them. You know, but as I've kind of grown in my understanding, you know, human trafficking doesn't always look like that.
That's right.
And I think bringing that awareness out and informing people that they may be surprised that maybe they've come across people that are being trafficked, but they were completely unaware.
Absolutely. I pray that is the most prevalent thing that comes out of that day, is that people begin to see people. And understand that it's not just one way. It's not just one label that we can place on things. It's, you know, and I've shared a little bit of my story in different times, but, you know, I was a dirty little homeless girl, and people oftentimes didn't look at me because I was a dirty little homeless girl, you know, but there's so much more to that. It's so much more complex than that. And every story, every person is different. And so when we can walk away knowing that the small framework that we place on our understanding sometimes is there's so much more. There's so much more to it. And God wants to reveal more to us, but we have to be open to that.
Yeah. So, Emery, can you share a little bit more of your story? How did the A21 Walk of Freedom impact you over 5 years ago when it first began here in Tulsa?
Yeah, it's totally God. I'm in awe of him every day with every breath, quite honestly. But I was homeless and poor when I was a little girl. I experienced childhood abuse, domestic abuse, mental, you know, emotional abuse that was common in my family and in my life as I was growing up. And we started to move away from the abusers of my childhood, my mother started to seek her own freedom. And without anyone guiding her, her understanding was that she needed a man to help her be safe and receive the things that she needed in life. So, and my mother just didn't know any better. She did the best she could with what she had. Mm-hmm. And my mom loved me, loves me very much. But as a little girl, 11 years old, she started to teach me what I needed to do to survive. And in that, I learned what that meant my value was. what that meant, what worth I had to get what I needed in order to survive. So there was these several years where I, as a 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old, started making decisions for myself about doing things and befriending people that I thought could help me survive, that would give me the love from a man that I'd never seen before. It was abusive, physical. It was ugly abuse when I was a little girl. But as a young teenager, it was under the guise of, oh, you're so beautiful and I love you and let me buy you things. Let me take you places. Let me give you some money to help your mom and your sister. And so that was, again, in my mind, choices I was making as a 12-year-old, but those are choices I was making. And so without understanding that a 12-year-old shouldn't make those kind of choices, but throughout my years, I've always, you know, had a pulling and a calling to help people. Despite, you know, all the ugliness I've ever seen in my life, I wanted to help others be seen. I wanted to help others, you know, be happy and healthy. And so I've always volunteered in various capacities. But about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago now, I started my real walk with Christ. Before, I would say that I believed in God as a creator and his son as our savior, but I never received his love. And then once I fully received that love and realized the magnitude of it, I started looking for my identity in Christ instead of the identity that I had given to so many people in order to receive a fake love, to be honest. But anyway, A21 was just one of those organizations that I was looking into, trying to help and try to get more involved in the community. So I showed up at their walk. At this point, it was in East Tulsa, and I was there alone. I didn't bring any family with me. I was still not fully talking about, you know, my past a lot. I just hid it a lot and showed up there just to learn more about, you know, what is trafficking in this area. So I sat there listening to people talk, I was like, this sounds a little close to home. This sounds a little familiar. Was I trafficked? Have I been exploited? And so over the next year, I started really digging into training that's available. Many of our local organizations, international organizations, offer a lot of online free training that anyone can jump onto. And so God really started me on that exploration. And in exploring, I started to name my trauma and realize exactly what had happened to me. Not that I was making decisions, but that I didn't really have any other choices. And that was the only options I knew of. No one else was, you know, there to lend a hand or pull me in another direction. So A21 really helped me realize that I was a victim and a survivor. So from there, I just started volunteering with them as much as I could, specifically for the Walk for Freedom, and then digging my heels in everywhere I could when there was injustice. And how can I help? I want to be a part of it, and just seeking God for what his purpose was for me.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
I imagine a lot of people show up at the walk and they're probably not contemplating, is a walk like this for someone like me?
Right.
And so, I mean, what a powerful story of the way that God has taken you, just taking a step out wanting to help others, and God actually kind of flipping the script on you and bringing healing to your own life through this.
He did.
And maybe, you know, you're listening today and you know, you've had things happen in your past that maybe you've been like Anne Marie and you've stuffed them down. Maybe you have you know, tried to kind of block out those memories that you don't want other people to, or maybe you just don't want to be reminded of those memories. But I want to encourage you that just like Anne Marie took steps of saying, you know what, because I was hurt in the past, I want to help other people in the future. I don't want that to define me. You never know if God is actually moving you toward a place of healing.
Amen.
And the A21 walk, I think, is a beautiful place for you to bring awareness about human trafficking and what's happening in our city. And friends, I want to let you know, all you have to do is open your eyes and you will see that it is in the city of Tulsa. Yeah. Even though we are called the city of faith, I want you to know that, you know, you go hang out at 61st in Peoria. There are places that you can hang out in our city, and it's very evident that trafficking is happening, and it is an issue that needs to be addressed, and the church, yes, I believe is the answer to the injustice that's happening in our city. And so, Emery, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for just being vulnerable and sharing, you know, that part of yourself that, you know, it's a big deal to say I'm a survivor.
It is. And I still struggle with it, to be honest, because you hear stories, you know, horrific stories, and you get into that place where you're like comparison, you know, that spirit of comparison comes in and goes, well, mine's not that bad. You know, right. So I can't be a survivor like her or him. But any injustice is not the will of God.
Right.
And in every bit of injustice has to be called out. So I walk forward in freedom, knowing that he has completely redeemed me, and he is restoring me, and he has a good plan for me.
Amen.
And I'm so excited about it. And I truly believe that the church is the solution. And like I said, at the assembly where I'm on staff at, I'm just so honored that we're hosting it there, because we want to get as many people involved in this movement as possible. And like I said, everyone can do something, even if it's just coming and getting more informed, like you said.
Right.
If you see something, say something. Well, how do you say something? You know, and we want people to be safe. And when they see something too, a lot of people just want to go and, you know, pull somebody out of a situation, but it can be very dangerous for them and for the person that's trying to help. So we want people to know that there are ways to help. There are ways that they can get involved. This is a reality right here. Our mission, our goal for the day, not just here in Tulsa, but globally, is to reduce vulnerabilities and be more aware of those that are at risk here locally. We also want to help people better identify victims. We want victims to be able to identify themselves and start to walk into that freedom that's there for them. And we want to help survivors really find their true identity, because we believe that that's where freedom is.
Yeah. So one of the things I think that as someone is listening, and maybe they're not very informed, and they have the picture, like I said, of the Taken movie of human trafficking. Can you break that down a little bit, and maybe with a wider scope, what is human trafficking?
Human trafficking is when someone uses force, fraud, or coercion to compel victims to perform labor or services, whether it be commercial sex acts or it could be agricultural work, to do something, you know, because of forced fraud or coercion. That's the definition of trafficking.
Okay. And so, so the picture then that a lot of people have sometimes doesn't fit that definition. Or maybe it's a real extreme view, and, you know, we have a lot of immigrants that have come into Tulsa. We've got, you know, a whole Afghan population. A lot of them are very vulnerable because they don't speak English. Yes. They can't read or write. They have to work. They've got to feed their family. And many times they're being exploited. Yes. And they're being trafficked, and they may not even know it, but you could be a neighbor to someone that's being trafficked. You could, actually see it, you know, different places that you're in the city going out in a grocery store. And so what are some things that they need to look for when they're trying to just be more aware for someone being trafficked? What are signs or symbols that they can look at and say, maybe I need to ask more questions?
Yeah. Well, I think that's honestly where it starts, is asking more questions. I think we've got to get outside of our bubbles. And we're called to relationships. We're called to community. Mm-hmm. And that's not just with the people that are like-minded or in like situations. So when we get outside of our bubble and we really immerse ourselves in the mission of being in relationships, relationship and being in community within our neighborhoods, within our cities, then we're going to learn more about people. And you're going to know. I mean, you start talking with somebody, and most people, you know right away if someone else is being taken advantage of. So if it could be that, you know, you've met somebody and, you know, they're it could be as simple as they carry two cell phones. That's something that a lot of people talk about with some girls in schools, if they carry two cell phones, and or if you know that she doesn't have the money to do her nails and get the clothes that she's wearing. You know, those are some signs that we tell students that, you know, that's very possible. If you know that person doesn't have that kind of money, you know, where's that coming from? If someone talks about having a boyfriend in college and or talks about having relationship with somebody online or far away. And those are just some red flags. Mm-hmm. I would say that you need to probably talk more with them, learn more about them instead of just fluffing it off as like, this girl is just promiscuous, or this girl is just finding a way to get her own thing. She's being taken advantage of. And we have people, like you said, that are not from this country, that don't know that, you know, they should be paid a certain wage. They don't know that they are entitled to certain rights as a person. And the more we talk with people, the more we really engage each other, the more we're going to realize that we have brothers and sisters in our neighborhoods that we might be overlooking, that if we just learned a little bit more about them, we could be like, hey, that's not okay. You are more valuable than that. And I don't know how to help, but I do know someone that does. And you can contact A21.org. You can contact A21 Tulsa at our website at A21 Tulsa. We have Facebook and Instagram. We have a Gmail account, so it's A21Tulsa@gmail.com. There's local law enforcement you can reach out to as well. I love our law enforcement. They are so committed, as you said earlier, they're committed to identifying victims and not just labeling one thing on someone because of an act they might be caught in.
Yeah, I think that's really significant. And I know, like, my husband's an ER doc, and one of the things that, you know, he early on, I mean, this was probably 15 years ago, we attended a conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and there was a ministry there called Doctors at War. And what they did is they trained those in the healthcare profession to be able to recognize people coming into the ER, because the ER is kind of a hot spot for people that are being trafficked. And, you know, there's a lot of suspicious behavior behind some of those that come in, and to be able to, as a physician, to be aware, you know, to be looking out for certain things. And I know that training for him has carried on even to today. Yeah. And, you know, he has a hotline number that he calls in the ER to get someone there to do like more of an investigation and an interview if he suspects that trafficking's happening. And I would imagine that same type of training is not just available for physicians, but for teachers.
Yes.
There's a lot of professions that, you know, are kind of hot spots, I think, that where people are most vulnerable. And it really takes all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking earlier that this is a responsibility of the church. You know, the Bible's very specific in talking about that we have to care for the weak and the vulnerable, and that it's actually our responsibility to stand up against injustice. But as we were talking, I was like, I feel like it's not just a biblical mandate, but it's like a human mandate. Yes. Like, as a society, as a community, we have to care for one another, and we have to look out for one another, and we have to look out for our children. We have to look out for the vulnerable. We have to look out for the elderly. There's so many people that can be exploited, and we have to say it's not just someone else's responsibility, but it's my responsibility to identify, to be self-aware and aware of my surroundings, but to also look out for the good of my neighbor.
Absolutely. I'll say it to the cows come home, if you will, Peggy. You know, we have got to engage each other. We've got to engage those that are different than us, and really, you know. So when you talk about industries that may need to be more aware, I think about hairstylists and nail technicians. You know, places where you know somebody would go and get prettied up, and maybe somebody that does their lashes and so forth. If you have conversations with your clients, if you have conversations with your neighbors, I love going and getting my nails done and talking with the neighbor next to me, and really talking, not just hey, how you doing, and then moving on about my day. But really talking with them, because that helps get a glimpse in. And, you know, maybe there's not an opportunity in that moment, but maybe there is. Right. You know, maybe it's a moment where you can help them, you know, realize because of the things that, you know, I was just at this walk and it was so cool. And they're sitting there going, what is that? What is exploitation? You know, and they start digging into their own and going on their own journey of it. But you talk about it being a biblical call to action. I absolutely agree. And I agree also that we've got to remember to keep it focused on those that are experiencing injustice. We can often want to jump to, I want to get justice for people. And that's really only good. The charge of the Lord. I mean, and Ezekiel 34:16 says, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong, and I will destroy and I will feed them justice. God is so good. He knows exactly what's going on. And I mean, I could go on and on about the layers and layers of victims that are involved in trafficking, and not to sympathize with traffickers in any way, but this is a broken, broken world. And this isn't something that just started yesterday. And there has got to be a whole approach to the freedom of those that are victimizing and those that are victims. I love that at the Walk for Freedom, one of the things we do is we look at the demand side too. We have a great partnership with an organization called Changing Lanes. Brett Hendricks has got a ministry there that is really committed to breaking the chains of pornography addiction.
That's so good.
It is. And honestly, when you speak with a lot of these addicts, these men and women, because it's not just a man issue, right, that are being redeemed and restored through and from pornography addictions. Oftentimes it started as a child of abuse, from a broken home, and it snowballs is what it does, Peggy. And it becomes, you know, you're looking for the next best and the next best. And then unfortunately it's all a part of the problem. So we've got to look at any little area that we are called to, and we've got to do it. We've got to go.
Oh, that's so good. And you know, I love what you said, is that we have to look at this as, well, number one, that this didn't start yesterday.
Right.
That we live in a broken world. We live in a world of injustice, and we live in a place where, you know, there has to be a place of change, and that change has to happen in industries. Mm-hmm. It has to happen in even what we choose or what we don't choose. It has to happen in the home. You know, we have to begin to look at every aspect of this, not just the exploitation, but the demand.
Right.
And I love that you guys are partnering with organizations like what you just mentioned, because it does take both sides. And I think raising that awareness, you know, we live in an age, I work with young people all the time, and they're on social media and they're exposed to so many things. And those things are, well, we see the result of it. You know, we've got a generation that's one of the most fatherless generations.
Right.
We've got young people that are the loneliest. They struggle with more mental health issues, and they feel isolated, and they actually don't know what the future holds for them, and they're very afraid of it. You know, there's a lot of anxiety and fear about the future that rests over this generation. And I just believe that it's a part of our responsibilities as mothers and fathers that we look out and we say, you know what, maybe we didn't have the perfect childhood, that we can seek our own healing, and then we can go after the healing of the next generation.
Amen.
Like, we can, you know, educate our children about real issues like human trafficking. We can educate them that there is a demand and a supply, and we can help them put up barriers within their own life so that they don't fall victim to places. You know, I think, you know, if you're a mom or a dad listening to this, that you have a responsibility to educate your kids, and not just your young kids, but your teenagers, to let them know that when they're online, that there are predators online that are seeking to destroy them. Absolutely. That we have a real enemy in the world, and he's looking for any weak spot he can in order to kill, steal, and destroy the plans and the purposes of God over every life that he interacts with. And so, well, I know that we need to kind of close this down, but Anne-Marie, thank you so much for being on here today. And absolutely. I would love if, again, you would just share again, when is it happening? Where is it happening? What time do they need to be there? How do they get connected? And then I would love to ask you to pray for those that have listened today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Peggy. I love you, and I love the All-Star organization. You guys are just definitely at the top of my list. So I pray for you guys daily. The 821 Walk for Freedom in the Tulsa, in the Oklahoma area, is being held in downtown Broken Arrow this Saturday, October 15th. Our doors will open at the Assembly Broken Arrow Rose District campus at 8 a.m. And the event kicks off, that's 8 to 9 o'clock is when you can kind of meet with other organizations and learn more about it from their tables. And then we do the Q&A at 9 o'clock, and then the walk happens shortly after that. It is a free event. It's open to families and individuals, everyone. If you're just wanting to learn or just wanting to figure out how to make a difference, you can go to a21a21.org/Tulsa to register. Registration is required. You can do it on site, though. If you don't do it in advance online, you may have a little line to wait in. So we do encourage you to do it online. But come on site, register at the doors. I think that was all you asked.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I think that's a quick summary. And now I would just like to ask you if you would just pray for the listeners. And then I think also just pray for those that are maybe combating, you know, should I come out or should I, talk about the things that are going on in my life? Maybe people have been listening today and just like you, you know, they're hearing about A21, they're hearing about this walk for freedom, and they're asking the question, have I suffered or have I been victimized? And I would just love for you to pray over them and then to pray for the walk happening this Saturday.
I would love that. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you that you call us to your work, that you don't need us, but you want us to be a part of your mission. Father God, that you are with us. You've never left us. So for those that are still in the darkness, are feeling alone, Father God, I just pray for them. I pray that they feel your presence. I pray that they seek and know you and know your love, and they begin to know your true freedom. For those that are looking to help, Father God, I pray that they are just bold to step into those dark places, step into those unknowns, those conversations, those uncomfortable places where they can learn more about your daughters, your sons that are out there, so they can help them, lead them to you, Father God. And Father, we just thank you that there is a way, and his name is Jesus. And Father God, we get to share that with people. And I just pray that you activate in each and every one of us so that we look for those places that you have us assigned to, Father. And this walk for freedom, Father, we thank you for this organization, this global movement, the mobilization that is going to happen this next Saturday, God. We know that people are going to show up there needing to be set free. We know that there will be people that are going to show up there not being fully activated in their purpose, but walking away fully ready to walk into what you have called them too. God, we know that this will make a difference, and we're just so grateful to be a part of that. Jesus, thank you for All Star. Thank you for Peggy. Thank you for everyone listening out there, God, wherever they find themselves, Father. May they see you. May they feel you. May they know your love, and may they know their true identity in you, because we know, God, that that is where freedom lives. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are the light. And wherever there is darkness, we bring you there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.